Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and one of my favorite commentators in the world. I want to ask you about some of the players in Massachusetts. I'll name them, and then you tell me what you know, okay? Here we go.
Sure.
Senator Warren, national candidate?
There are lots of folks who'd love to see her become a national candidate. There's no upside in Elizabeth Warren saying right now she's interested in running for the presidency or being considered as a running mate. So she's working hard to be a good legislator and letting the chips fall where they may.
So, but she's doing well, according to your polling data, right?
I would say she is doing well, not just according to what we see, but what other polls have shown in Massachusetts. She has had a good first 10 months in office in terms of doing a couple of things at the same time. One, continuing the momentum that carried her into office by staying in touch with her supporters, but also building some connections on Capitol Hill in the sense that she's attempting to work not just within the Democratic caucus, but across the aisle to get some legislation at least drafted. We'll see where it goes. She has partnered with Senator John McCain on a piece of legislation that would restore what is known as the Glass-Steagall Act, which would require banks to separate consumer banking from investment banking, a wall that was there but came down in the late 90s and contributed to the Wall Street crash in 2007-2008. So she's made her mark there. She's certainly become somewhat of a YouTube sensation with her grilling of regulators and banking executives in Senate committee hearings. And during the August recess, she spent a good bit of time back here in Massachusetts going to events, making announcements, just staying visible as someone in the first year of her term should.
So she is now one of the liberal lions, to put it mildly, of the Senate, maybe the liberal lion. I mean, we had Paul Wellstone, we had other people like that, but we haven't seen anybody who's emerged as a populist favorite for going after the bankers and doing that kind of thing. And she's it, isn't she?
She certainly is. At the beginning of the government shutdown, she made a speech on the floor of the Senate that went viral online as well, where she simply talked about the role of government and the role of and how democracy should work. And she didn't mince words. And this is someone, and when you're in the first year of a six-year term, you can be a person of principle and be bold and say what's on your mind. It will be interesting to see if she continues to carry this forward, much as Paul Wellstone did and Teddy Kennedy did.
So Senator Warren is one thing. Interestingly, you say she's in her first term, but she is the senior senator, isn't she?
She is. By twists of fate, when Senator John Kerry became Secretary of State, Senator Warren was elevated to the senior position in the delegation. It doesn't get her very far in terms of seniority in the Senate, but it does make her someone to be reckoned with, for example, when the president wants to nominate someone to the federal bench from Massachusetts. Senator Warren's got a sign off on it, as does Senator Markey, but she does have that kind of influence.
But the senior senator, it really gets to be sort of important just by the way it works. And that brings us to Senator Markey. He's got to face a re-election. She doesn't. He is, he's more, what's the right word without being offensive, pedestrian than she is.
Yeah, he doesn't have the star quality that Senator Warren has. And it's been interesting to watch the two senators interact. During the August recess, they made appearances together. And it is interesting, even though she is senior to Senator Markey by only a few months, it was as if she was taking him under her wing as they traveled to various parts of Massachusetts. And I think it is with that knowledge as well. He's got to run for a full term next year.
And she sure doesn't want a Republican in there.
That's right. That's right. And having access to Elizabeth Warren's donor database and the connections that she built in the 2012 campaign, that can only help Senator Markey.
Well, he's a feisty fellow. He can get angry at people, I know that. The question I have for you is this personality of his, does it show?
It's interesting. He's just watching him in the early weeks of his term in the Senate. It's hard to get a bead on how he'll be as a senator versus as a member of the House of Representatives. A closely watched vote that he cast in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee really raised some eyebrows shutdown. This all seems so long ago now, but there was a period where Washington was embroiled in what to do about Syria. And that was just a few weeks ago, but it seems like forever. And the president was asking Congress for authorization to use military force. Senator Markey sits on the Foreign Relations Committee, and the matter came up in committee. The committee gave the president the authorization, but Senator Markey voted present. It was his first really high-profile vote, and I think it raised some eyebrows among.
Don't you think that's a little stupid? I know that's a tough word, but you know, I remember back way before you were born, there was something called the Taft-Hartley Act, reigning in the labor unions, and a whole bunch of guys were so scared to be on either side that they either didn't vote. Or they did that thing, vote present, and everybody hated him on both sides.
That's right. There's no way to win on something like that, especially. And that was an issue that was extremely emotional, and Americans chose sides. Well, they chose mostly one side in opposition. And the senator said, look, I haven't seen the evidence yet. But some of his colleagues who hadn't seen the evidence yet to support the president simply voted no. And Senator Markey's logic was, well, I might still want to hold out the option of voting yes on the floor. And all of that makes logical sense. But when you're trying to establish yourself, particularly with the reelection campaign coming up next year, this was an opportunity to stake your claim. Present yourself as a thoughtful and forceful legislator on the national stage. And it was puzzling as to why he cast that vote. I'm not sure what kind of advice he was getting.
Okay.
Now it all seems like an eternity ago, though. So who knows if that'll come up down the road.
Okay, so we only have a few minutes. I want to ask you about the gubernatorial race. Deval Patrick, one of my favorite people of all time, is sticking to his word, he's not running. And now you see on the Republican side a guy by the name of Charlie Baker. Does he have a chance?
If the election were held today, I think it would be tough, and for a couple of reasons. One, I think the national debate over the events in Washington is going to have an effect on Republicans up and down the ticket next year, depending on how this all turns out. And Democrats in Massachusetts are already happy to hang this around Charlie Baker's neck, even though he has nothing to do with the shutdown or the debate over the debt ceiling. It's just hard to run as a Republican in Massachusetts because the Democrats will happily connect you as closely as they can to the national party. Now, having said that, Baker could distance himself. He could establish himself as a moderate Republican, someone who's ready to reach across the aisle, because if anything, this shutdown shows that partisanship is just really locking things up in Washington. So if he gets good advice and is careful about this, he could turn it around. But right now, I think it's tough for him. And I think part of the reason it's tough for him is that we've got a couple of high-profile Democrats who have run and won statewide, and we still have a formidable turnout machine in the Democratic Party that makes it difficult for a Republican to win.
Tim Versalotti is the director of the Western New England University poll, professor of political science, and one of the most insightful political scientists that I know. Thank you so much, Tim. When we come back the next time, let's pick up the conversation right where we left it.
Okay.